He's so good, he's sponsored by Greenewalt Roofing. They're more than great roofs. Greg was under the roof in Cincinnati in the press box there at Great American Ballpark. He got the permission from the bigwigs to go cover this series and call the play-by-play from Cincy for us. And he watched the last 2 days the Pirates get clobbered 14-1 and 11-4 today. Greg, I'm not even going to try to ask a leading question. I just kind of want to get your thoughts on what you witnessed and what you watched in this series.
Oh, well, you said it, Andrew. I saw a red-hot Cincinnati team. They're just absolutely on fire. I don't recall anything like it. In six games now, it's historic, the numbers they're putting up. It's at that ballpark, at the Bandbox. It can be anyway when you have hitters like they've got. We'll see if that continues in Phoenix and San Francisco. They're heading on the road. And we'll see what happens to the Pirates pitching staff when they go home and play the Cubs and the Padres. I think that's kind of it. I also saw, the starting pitching was bad. Trevor Cahill deserved better breaks than he got. Not to make excuses for him, he wasn't great. Chad Kuhl was not good. Walking three in a row, he's all over the place at times. And the defense was not good. The defense has been the biggest disappointment through the first six games of the season. And, Andrew, I don't think it's an exaggeration. I was thinking about this after the game and to a degree during the game. I don't think it's an exaggeration. Even though they got clobbered today, you could make an argument that if T. Brian Hayes was your third baseman, they certainly could have won the first game of the series. And who knows what happens if he's at third base today in the very first inning. Yeah, they're down 1-0, but he makes a routine play that is not made, and then what happens with Chad Kuhl? Again, not to make excuses for Kuhl. He did what he did. He walked three guys after that two-base error in the first, and you can't have that, but those two things are a bad combination. But had Hayes been at third, he just makes the entire infield defense and the defense as a whole so much better and sounder. The Pirates are going to be very anxious to get him back.
Greg, to that point about defense being a huge disappointment, I went into the season with no preconceived notions that the team had the talent on hand to be particularly competitive and win a healthy number of games. But what I think frustrates me the most is seeing that, because you can lose games. Tell me if you disagree with this. Maybe you do. You can lose games because you have a talent drain compared to one of your opponents, or you don't have enough pitching, you don't have enough hitting, whatever. But at the major league level, I don't think it's too much to ask to be making the basic plays and playing cleaner baseball. And through six games, I think more so than even the starting pitching struggling, the sloppiness at times or oftentimes for the Pirates has been my biggest sort of point of contention and frustration as a viewer.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. It's been my greatest frustration watching it, because these are rather routine plays. And you hear, physical errors are going to happen. Yeah, but, not to this degree. And for a team that's just not built to be good enough to every single night outscore people, they have to make the plays. They have to make the routine plays. Errors are going to happen on occasion, but not the one. And frankly, it's physical errors on the field. And, the base running error today, who knows what – if Wilmer Defoe is running the bases properly, the game might have turned around entirely. It's impossible to understand how he does not score on that double off Nick Castellanos' glove. I guess I wasn't watching Castellanos fumble with the ball on the sidewall after trying to make a sliding catch. But here's a guy at second base in Defoe, and he's fast.
Yep.
So apparently he went back to tag with one out, which is, again, that's elementary.
Right.
Those are the things. This team, absolutely. I can't imagine how livid Shelton must have been in that dugout and after that game.
Well, he doesn't show it. I mean, maybe he does with umpires once in a while, but he's about, and that's probably why they hired him. The guy always seems to have a very sunny disposition. I don't know how long that'll last, Greg, but it just seems like he always finds the glass half full. He's the opposite of Mueller, really, when it comes down to it.
Yeah,
I mean, he just do you disagree? He's goofing around with you guys in pregame shows. You know, he just always seems like he's got a he's the opposite of John Russell on a bad team. He wouldn't say boo. This guy wants to talk, it seems like.
Yeah, well, I think he I don't know how much he enjoys the scrums and stuff and the interviews with us. I don't know that he cares for it. I mean, he understands it's certainly part of the job, and he does it, and he you know, I appreciate the fact he treats everyone with respect.
But my point, Greg, is I don't see him doing a Leland thing where he's flipping tables and freaking out in press conferences. If people want that, too bad. They're not going to get it.
Well, I don't know about that. I think they are going to get it at some point. I don't know if they want it or not. Yeah, I do. Absolutely.
Okay.
I think, first of all, we don't see him because he's got the mask on.
So
once this mask comes off, I think we'll probably see. I think he'll be Leland-esque.
Wow.
In how he handles the bench. And I definitely think we will have a real good blow-up, you know, or two during the course of a season, whether it's with the media. Whether it's something in the clubhouse that we hear about and don't see. Yeah, I think he's going to blow his lid on more than one occasion.
Well, let me ask you this, Greg. If the Reds are, as the people in your shoes, the experts predicted, if the Reds are really the fourth best team in the NL Central, how do the Pirates avoid 100 losses?
Well, I'm not one of the people that says they're the fourth best team. I don't know that they are. I think that there's a... When all is said and done, the top three teams are still going to be the Cubs, the Cardinals, and Brewers. Maybe the Reds are the fourth best team. But I think the Pirates, I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I think they can avoid 100 losses. I think they can win, you know, 70 games. It's not
even after watching this opening week, you still feel that way?
Oh, yeah. Heck, this season is so daggone early. Absolutely. I mean, because I also watched what happened on... The at-bats were good. They were solid. How they approach things, yeah, absolutely. The first week doesn't tell me they're going to lose 100 games. Yeah, they look bad. I think the defense is going to get better without question about it. Even without Hayes, it's going to get better. It's not going to be this bad all year. The starting pitching, I don't know that it's going to get much better. It is what it is. I think Keller can get much better. I think the walks will be and should be reduced dramatically. But I felt, even in spring training, that if your starters can give you, which is not asking for much, five decent innings, you know, three, four times a week, the bullpen is strong enough. I still believe that's going to be one of the real positives and a possibility of helping this team win a lot of ball games. The bullpen will keep the team in a lot of ball games and help them win their fair share.
I know it's one game, one start for Mitch Keller, but I saw nothing in that start from him, Greg, that made me feel like what happened to him in the spring or what was happening to him in the spring was just spring training working on stuff. It looked like a very disheartening continuation of what we saw for the last month or so before they came north. What did you see from him?
Agreed too, Chris. Frustrating. You know, certainly not the guy we saw last September when, you know, he trusted his stuff. It's that old adage that you got to trust your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't, apparently. Now, he says in the Zoom conference the other day, he was asked about, I don't know who asked the question, was it physical? Are you thinking about it too much? You know, is it playing on your mind? Are you trying to nibble? He goes, oh, no, I'm not trying to nibble, and I know what I have to do, and I just have to get it done. I don't know what that is because it seems to me he's spraying that fastball, and that's rule one is get, you know, get that fastball command back in good shape. And when he does that, and I think that can come, you know, with this very next start. And once it does, I think it's like kidding, it's confidence, and he could take off again because we did see it in there last year, that shortened season. That's the Keller the Pirates thought they were getting when they drafted him, and so many outside the organization who picked him as one of the top prospects in baseball. But to this point, Chris, he is exactly right. You're exactly right. What you've seen, that's what I've seen from him.
Greg, how about Polanco? I mean, it's a. I mean, yeah. it's It's a broken record, but it's not a number one hit like I don't know. Did you like the Bee Gees growing up? Did you have a favorite band? Maybe the Beatles.
I love the Bee Gees. Yeah. Very underrated. Yeah.
Well, he's not staying alive in the batter's box here. Okay.
Greg.
No, that's a good call.
Greg, what do you do in a situation like this? You don't have guys knocking down the door at, you know, not AAA technically, but your minor league side or whatever to play. But it's just it's torture watching him right now. It really is.
No, well, I guess I would ask you guys that question. What would you do? You know, I mean, if you're the Pirates, what do you do?
Well, I got to tell you something. They got a lot of guys that are quote-unquote prospects that aren't really that young, if you think about it. Like, they've got guys in their low 20s that are, you know, not major leaguers yet. I'd like to see some of those guys, Greg.
Well, you might at some point, Andrew, but we know what we're talking about here. Polanco, and I bet you guys have discussed this and believe that, you know, that if you sit Polanco now and he doesn't play, then, you know, you're wasting the possibility of at the very least getting something in return for him by the All-Star break.
Yeah.
So I play him every single day. I hope he gets hot, because if he does, they'll win more games. It'll help them avoid 100 losses. They'll win more games, and maybe they decide he's a good they love the influence, because he is, you know, you may roll your eyes. He does work hard. He doesn't, you know, he busts his tail all the time. He hit a ground ball today in a, what was it, 11-0 at the time, I think, where it's a routine ground ball to second, and he was out by maybe a step, half a step, maybe a step. Surprising the second baseman. So maybe he's a good influence. Maybe they decide, heck, we've got nobody else, to your point, Andrew, who's knocking on the door to play right field even next year. Maybe they pick up next year's option. But again, at the very least.
Well, how about this conundrum? What if Hayes comes back and Evans keeps hitting? Don't you want to find a way to get him in the lineup? Maybe play him in right.
Well, and he will. I mean, even with Hayes in the lineup, he was going to get starts, and he will. I mean, if he keeps hitting, he'll find a place for him, whether he rests Moran on occasion or Polanco, whether he moves Reynolds. Just, you know, that, talk about a conundrum. Center field's more of a conundrum for me than even Polanco. I mean, that's a question. I wonder if they're going to consider moving Reynolds to center and moving Frazier out in left, to left.
Who plays second?
Then they could play Newman at second and Gonzalez at short.
Okay. I don't.
You know what, Greg, when you say all that, though, you know what?
I don't mind that.
I don't mind it. I don't mind it. I don't have an issue with it. But I'll go back to something Andrew said that has been frustrating for me. And I understand that the future is not this year. It's not even next year, probably. I think the earliest people say is 2023. But so many of the names that you just mentioned there, Gonzalez, Newman, you know, the guys up the middle in that hypothetical.
These aren't spring chickens.
These are not exactly. These are not young guys, and that's what is troubling to me about it. If you're still trying to figure out what either one of them is or what Kevin Newman is to your franchise, he's at an age where you should probably already know in an ideal world.
Well, I mean, I don't know. You know, as a rookie 2 years ago, whatever his age is, to me, it doesn't matter as much, because 2 years ago he finished in the top 10 in hitting among rookies. He was a 300 hitter, and he was a hitter in the minor leagues. He hit in college. You know, I think he's a if he's a 300 hitter, he's a major league player at shorter second. So you know, is the question from you both that. The Pirates shouldn't be playing Newman or Gonzalez, and they should be playing someone else up there to find out what they're doing? I guess my
statement is more, Kevin Newman's going to be 28 years old, and you have to play him and see what he's all about, but he strikes me as more somebody you would be trying to trade eventually, and probably not somebody that would be a foundational piece of a team you anticipate competing, because he might be 30, 31 years old by that point.
Well, yeah, and you might be right. Maybe he does get traded. This is all. I don't know where Ben Cherington is going with it. I trust the game plan, but I, you know, I'm not in the meetings. I don't know that they're not saying, "Hey, let's play him. Let's trade him. Let's get something." Or maybe they're saying, "Hey, let's keep playing him because this guy could be a winner on a winning team. And I agree with you. I think that the window will open sooner than 3 or 4 years down the road. I was talking to the Reds guys, the broadcasters today about that, and they concur that the fact that there are fewer minor league teams, there are fewer minor league players now, the draft is condensed to 20 rounds. We saw what happened last year when there were several successful big leaguers who bypassed AAA and AA and made an impact in the major leagues, and I think it opened some eyes. Luis Oviedo is 21 years old, a Rule 5 pitcher for the Pirates, who in two outings has dominated, aside from a bad pitch that he, you know, gave up that home run the other night. But, I mean, his stuff is eye-popping, and his demeanor on the mound.
Well, I'll give you one, Greg. You asked two. I mean, you're asking for names. How about Travis Swaggerty is 23 years old, was the 10th pick in the draft, and has never played past A-ball. How about that? Like, eventually, if you take a guy 10th overall.
That's not necessarily fair because the last year you throw out, so that's not necessarily fair.
Well, still, though. I mean, to your point,
No. Yeah, but if there was a year last year, he plays at least half a year at AA and maybe plays AAA. That's not fair. I will say this, though. When we're talking about these players that, you know, they're getting up there and they should know who they are. They should know a Swagger. They should know a Newman. That, unfortunately, is all on the previous regime.
I didn't say it wasn't.
Okay. But that's, you know, so I don't know what Ben Sherrington and his group can do about that other than play them and find out what they have in these guys.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, I don't want to make it seem, Greg, like I'm blaming Charrington. I'm not. It is. You're 100% correct. It's the problem of the previous regime, and I'm not really. I guess I'm just proving Pony right here because I'm just bringing up guys, and it's really just to be a dark cloud here. So I'm going to stop right now because not only is the glass not half full, the glass broke, and my hand is bleeding now.
Well, this happens. Unfortunately, when a team goes into a slump, they went into Cincinnati with a red-hot team. They got tasted for three games. I do believe it would have been a different story if Key Brian Hayes is in there when he gets back, when Keller, I believe Keller will figure it out. Cool and Brubaker, I think, are still solid, maybe not top-of-the-rotation pitchers. Again, I like a strong bullpen. I think they will clean up the defense. The base running has to get better. You'll be a glass half full guy in short order, I think, Ballsy.
I wouldn't bet on that. Thank you, Greg. Great stuff.
I would.
Safe travel back to Pittsburgh, and we're excited for opening day tomorrow, okay?
Thanks, guys.
See ya. Text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly.